You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
This is Bloomberg Business Week from Bloomberg Radio.
I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Carol Masser. Welcome to the Bloomberg Business Week Extra. It's our weekly podcast bringing you an in-depth interview you will not hear anywhere else.
Well, this week we caught up with a venture capitalist. His name is Patrick McGinnis, but you don't know him as a venture capitalist, and you probably haven't heard his name, but I guarantee you, you've heard of something he came up with, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Absolutely. FOMO and also FOBO now, fear of better options. He's also got a new book out, Jason. It's called Fear of Missing Out, Practical Decision Making in a World of Overwhelming Choice. And what's interesting is he really applies it to our COVID-19 world, something to think about as we are all sheltering in place.
So basically, this book is a reflection of where we are today as a society, how we spend our time. And I invented FOMO when I was back in business school at Harvard Business School in the year 2003, before there was any social media. But now we're in a place where all of us are living with FOMO. We are inundated with information and social media and all these influences, and so we have to find a way to deal with it.
All right, so can we go back to that first thing? I can't skip past that because I mentioned this to my two teenagers that I was going to interview you today and that you're the inventor of FOMO, and they're like, we want to hear more about this. So on behalf of Will and Henry, I'm asking this question. How did you come up with this? What was the germ of the idea here?
Yeah, so listen, I grew up in a small town in Maine, and it was a very calm place, not a lot going on. And then I lived in New York, but I was working all the time, so I didn't have time for FOMO. And then right before I went to business school, there were two things that happened here in New York City that really affected me. Number one was I was working in venture capital in 2000, and so everything blew up, and we basically lost all our money, and it was very traumatic. But far worse than that was I lived through 9/11. I lived in Lower Manhattan, and we all remember what that was like. And so as a result, I just wanted to live life to the fullest. It was carpe diem for me. And when I got to HBS, you know, it's such a choice-rich environment in terms of the amounts of, you know, classes and job opportunities and parties and trips, and all of these things were happening, and I just wanted to do all of them. And even though there was no social media. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg was across the river working on the first version of Facebook at the exact same time that I was over at business school. Even though we didn't have social media, we all lived in such close proximity to each other, and we could compare ourselves to each other, that I basically felt this anxiety that I was never doing enough and I couldn't keep up. And I started calling that a fear of missing out. I shortened it to FOMO, and I wrote an article in our school newspaper called Social Theory at HBS, McGinnis's Two Foes, and I talked all about FOMO and its culture in our campus.
Wow. And
that
it caught
so
on.
Cool.
It went viral.
Well, you know, it's funny. I have to thank you guys because it went viral on campus. Then I graduated and forgot about it. But Bloomberg Businessweek magazine wrote about it in 2007 in the context of HBS. That's the first time I saw it outside of when I wrote about it. And then slowly it sort of crept into the vocabulary because, you know, every year kids were graduating from business schools and bringing it to all of the firms that they went to work for.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, we're happy to be a footnote in the creation
and,
of this.
And Patrick, you're welcome. but it's such a big thing, right? We talk about this, like just trying to have balance and just being present, enjoying where you are rather than thinking about what you're missing. And so how do you get to this in a world where like everybody's having a hard time about what they're missing right now, you know, or what they're going to be missing on the other side of this because we can't go back to life as we knew it?
It's so true. And listen, it's been interesting because in the beginning of the pandemic, we all felt, I think, a sense of relief that we didn't have that social pressure. And, yeah. You know, it goes beyond social pressure. It also is about how we spend our money and how we invest our money. It has all these other implications. But for that one moment, I remember thinking, my God, I haven't had FOMO in 2 weeks. And then over time, as we started to sort of realize this is going to drag on, I think we all started to feel it. And the big thing to remember with FOMO is that FOMO is caused by two things. Number one, it's the perception that something better is out there happening than what you're doing at the moment. So perception can be deception. You have to really dig into whether something is as good as it looks on the surface. And the second is, it's about herd behavior, following the crowd. So when you feel FOMO, ask yourself, is this something I truly want to do because it's something I want to do, or am I feeling pressure to sort of keep up with the Joneses, external pressure on me?
Can I just say what's really interesting is, and maybe this is all of a sudden like everybody doing Zooms, and you know there's tons of now fitness Zoom classes where initially there wasn't a lot of things to choose from, right? Everybody was ramping up, and I kind of loved it because the world became so simple and there weren't a ton of things I had to make decisions on. And now it's like, do I want to do this Zoom fitness class or this one? Do I want to do this Zoom family meeting or this one? Like it's unbelievable how, you know, again, FOMO hits even in this world.
That's the thing that kind of has blown my mind about this is what has happened is we all stay home, but the thing that provokes much of our FOMO, which is, you know, connectivity and our cell phones and social media, we're actually on it more now than we were before.
Yeah.
My screen time, and by the way, I'm careful about this. Look at your screen time, everybody. Like, it's frightening how much time we're spending on our devices,
brutal.
Right? And so we're getting into actually kind of a worse place than we were before, I would say.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Let's continue our conversation with Patrick McGinnis. He's got a new book out. It's called Fear of Missing Out, Practical Decision-Making in a World of Overwhelming Choice. Joining us on the phone on launch day, as Carol mentioned, he's got a big event tonight, virtual, of course, because that's the world we're living in. And Patrick, first of all, thanks for sticking with us. And I have to ask you, you know, we were starting in the first part of our conversation to get into this notion of sort of how the world has changed and how FOMO still is creeping into what we're doing. What is the effect of sort of how we think about missing out, or you also talk about FOBO, fear of a better option? How do we think about that differently, do you think, on the other side of this as we get to what some people are calling sort of the next normal?
Yeah, it's a really important question because I think we have a lot to learn in this moment. And if we pay attention and put down our phones for a minute and think about what's going on, we can come out of this actually better people, better society. And so I would think on the FOMO side, it's really about paying attention right now to what you truly miss and what you realize you don't really miss, writing that down actually, and then when you reemerge into the real world, remembering these things. Like, it's incredible the little things I miss. I live in New York City. I miss the subway. I miss going to a lot of the restaurants in the neighborhood. What I don't miss is overscheduling myself or being stressed out about some of the things that don't really matter. So I think thinking about that right now and being introspective about that is helpful. FOBO, which is a fear of a better option, this is the other thing that I wrote about back in business school, but it never got famous. But it's just as bad, I would say worse than FOMO, because FOBO is about never sort of accepting a deal, always wanting to trade up, always wanting to wait for something better to come along. And I think that we've seen in this pandemic that the people who were waiting for something better to come along when it came to making the hard decisions about closing down and social distancing, they found out very quickly that delaying decision-making actually has terrible effects.
I totally agree with that.
Wow,
I think about
that's the, such an interesting insight.
Right. The amount of time, like, you stew over making a decision, sometimes you just got to just do it and move on.
Totally. I mean, this is a great example in public policy, with whether it's COVID or it's Brexit. But it's also, if you think about, you know, entrepreneurs versus incumbent companies, these traditional companies that they have all this money and resources, but they can't move quickly. And the reason why, you know, the Audis get eaten up by the Teslas is because the startups have to move. They don't have the resources just to sit around and wait for something better.
Yeah. Well, and it also feels like many folks are gaining a sense of clarity, to your earlier point about FOMO, about sort of what they need and what they don't need. But also, when a lot is stripped away, maybe you stop thinking, well, I'm going to do this thing next, and I'm really just doing this until I get a chance to do X. And there's also this sense, it feels like right now, Patrick, that, you know, we're all much more aware of our mortality in some ways, and maybe saying either, okay, I'm going to make that decision to do something different, or maybe I need to sort of reassess and really be honest about how I'm feeling about this situation right now and not always be a grass is greener sort of person.
That's for sure. The reality is that we are having this opportunity, but just with as what we lived with in 9/11, there was this period of introspection, and then we sort of resumed these sorts of behaviors that we wish we hadn't done. And so I actually suspect that there will be a wave of massive FOMO when we are able to live our lives again. And I think it's okay for a little while, because when you have FOMO, it means there's something to miss out on, so that's a good thing. But we definitely want to be conscious of what we've learned right now, because, you know, if we learn something and pay attention, we can just live much more decisive lives.
How do you apply FOMO in the workplace?
Oh, it's a very, anybody been on LinkedIn lately and seen all of your friends with their promotions, and you start to feel like you're just not good enough? I mean, that is an incredibly sort of active use case. But really, I think about FOMO in terms of, not only in terms of not being sort of grateful or thankful for what you do have, and then more fixating on what you don't have, but also in terms of running businesses. When businesses start to do things because of FOMO, when Pepsi brings Crystal Pepsi on the market because they want to keep up with Sprite, when you're doing things for the wrong reasons because you're following in the crowd, you are apt to make mistakes.
And so how do you think, we've been asking sort of big thinkers this question, like, what are the underappreciated ways that you think we change as either humans or business people, investors, on the other side of this?
So I have a feeling that it's unfortunate that this whole sort of situation has become quite political. And I think that we are going to see through the rest of the year that the political divide that is created by this is going to play out in our election. And then we are going to see effects on the election, and potentially with voting and voting rights and things like that. And so I think the big question that I ask myself as I look at this pandemic is, what is the role that it will have in affecting our democracy? And how can we as citizens come together to actually defend something that's so precious to us? And I think that's going to be the conversation this year. Right now, we're all dealing with the medical emergency. Next, we'll be dealing with the economic impact, and we're going to be dealing with the impact to our democratic systems.
And that was venture capitalist and author Patrick McGinnis, inventor of the term FOMO. I have to say, I was skeptical going in, as were my sons. But then when he made the case, like, okay, that checks out. I mean, fascinating to understand where it came from and also how it applies to the life that we're living right now.
And can we just say, you gotta love that he gave props to Bloomberg Business Week, because they wrote about him years ago when he created the term FOMO. He wrote about it. He wrote an article while he was at Harvard Business School, and apparently Business Week picked it up, and that really gave him a lot of attention. So, gotta love that.
Yeah, good for him. It all comes together.
All right, you've been listening to Bloomberg Business Week Extra.
Be sure to tune in to Bloomberg Business Week Radio, live Monday through Friday starting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Carol Masser, and this is Bloomberg.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it.
Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.